This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
610 now, and Trump made news over the weekend. Hillary made news over the weekend. Unfortunately, we'll have to talk about both. We mentioned the NHL Network goalie poll. That's not exactly right. It wasn't a poll of goalies. It was a survey about goalies. And Corey Crawford finished seventh best goalie in the National Hockey League. So apparently you can just put anybody in net, you'll just win Stanley Cups. It's ridiculous.
So we're not just being fans. That's extremely low, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, because he probably should, like we said, be maybe three.
His record in the playoffs is tremendous. He loses respect around the league at times because he falls asleep.
Oh yeah.
You know, you'll have a chippy. You'll have a bunny. You'll have a goal that gets by him that he should stop. And those kind of glaring mistakes get tagged to him, as opposed to spectacular saves and amazing playoff performances that he ought to be getting more credit for. I don't know why he's been so underrated, but he really has.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
But anyway, we'll get to that later on. Eddie O will be on, amongst other people. Rudy Giuliani's lost his mind. We're going to get to that later.
Again?
It's weird, though. I mean, Rudy Giuliani's running around talking about Hillary Clinton's mental and physical health. I'm not sure, and I'm not being flip here. I'm not sure all the marbles are still there for Rudy. I don't know that the lights are on in the balcony, the penthouse. It's not good.
I saw him at the RNC. Remember walking through the lobby? It was strange, though, because you would think he would have security and people around him. He was just literally walking through the lobby.
Yeah, well, I mean, I sort of respect that.
I kind of do, too, but I would think he would have more security.
And Ryan Lochte's an idiot. There's no penalty for being stupid, but when you're it's like that that scene from Animal House, fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. In Ryan Lochte's case, narcissistic, selfish, and stupid is no way to end your career, son, because it's over. The only thing that's weird, I actually heard, this is how mad the USOC is. They said they might take away his medals.
They say there's further discipline.
But the lying doesn't have anything to do with his medals. He ought to, keep his medals.
Right.
You know, as he goes to drinks himself into oblivion. Wasn't me. But the penalties will be extensive. He's already lost Ralph Lauren and some other sponsorships. So when that all goes away, he'll have no money. And Ryan Lochte's an idiot. What is Ryan Lochte going to do for a living?
How about the other swimmers, too? I mean,
I hope they don't get suspended.
I don't think
they're
young. Come down as hard on them.
I don't know if they have any talent at all, outside of being in the Olympics, obviously. Right. But I don't know if they're Ryan Lochte-level talent, let alone Michael Phelps. He's a once-in-a-lifetime. But I would hope that they'll be given a shot to redeem themselves, since they didn't step in it the way he did. Plus, he leaves the country.
How much is enough punishment, though? I mean, at what point do we say, okay, guys... made his tearful apology to Matt Lauer. He's been ridiculed. He's been embarrassed.
Well, the show's not until 10, Dave. We have more to do. You know, I mean, I got more ridicule to do. If you want me to shut it down now, I don't know what we're going to do between now and 10.
Go right ahead. It's your show.
Thank you. I mean, if you brought me this message at 9:45, it'd be easier.
I didn't mean how much are you going to punish him.
6:13. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. All right, well, let's jump in here. I was thinking about you on Saturday because Orion Samuelson hosted all of us out at Arlington.
Oh, that's nice.
And when I saw the horsies, I thought, well, I wish Paul could be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to see some horses working.
Yes, because you're not a big horse guy.
Not the ones that are standing around in big fields doing nothing.
Right. We've covered this.
Nothing.
All right. Did you enjoy the Olympics with your children?
I did not.
All right. Was there a reason?
I didn't realize they were on until like 2 days before it ended and just kind of snuck past me. So I tried to catch up a little bit over the weekend. And frankly, they don't do that much for me. I could think they could spice it up a little bit and
make it a little bit
more, you know, user-friendly for people like me.
Let's talk about some ways to improve the Olympics. I have some ideas. I'm glad to hear you do. What would you do differently?
So I'm watching this event yesterday. I still don't know what it is. It's a bunch of ladies with too much makeup on, and they're throwing streamers and hula hoops at each other, right?
Oh, that's party planning. That's party Olympic planning. Party planning.
I didn't get it, but I'm sitting there thinking, all right, now if you lit those on fire and then you put in a live tiger and let it run loose, I'm watching that forever.
That's going to get you.
Right? The outfits were beautiful, but I'm like, ah, you're throwing hula hoops around. I still don't under what was that?
That was rhythmic gymnastics.
All right, we're
going to
make some changes in rhythmic.
Yeah, change that one right away.
Rhythmic gymnastics. We're adding flame
and the swimming stuff.
Yeah, listen, I've got one for swimming. You know, I think it's ridiculous to watch great swimming like that over and over again with someone like me who's not a strong swimmer. So why couldn't we do wading? Waiting for the entire games.
Right.
Everybody can do it.
Yeah.
Everybody's eligible.
Dog paddling.
Whoever now, obviously, we're going to lose a lot of competitors.
Sure.
A lot of people are going to drown.
Yeah.
But waiting, the last one to survive wins a gold medal.
I like that. Here's the thing. I don't feel like they're inclusive, right? Like, everybody there is got these tight bodies. Let's let some of the chubby people and, you know, non-athletic people into these games.
Right,
it's divisive. It hurts people's feelings like mine.
Like a fat guy category.
Yeah, you know, non-athletes. You know, let's put some of the non-athletes
in
there and put them in the deep end of the pool. Now you got to rescue some people. Now I'm watching. Again, and maybe throw a shark or something in the pool.
Oh,
so you're forced to really pay attention.
That's not a bad idea at all. Hey, what if we made Costas and Ryan Seacrest compete in one event a day?
Oh, I like that.
Because Costas by Tokyo will be 65.
That is because it is a little predictable, right?
Yeah.
Just you always know the best
studio,
athletes
yapping.
Can win. Throw in an old guy or something. Right.
Right. And Ryan Seacrest in weightlifting.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
Here's the other thing. Like, I don't understand. There needs to be continuity, right? Like, I believe that there should be order. I'm watching that thing yesterday. Those ladies are wearing so much makeup. They should have been local newscasters first. But then you watch another sport, and they're not wearing any makeup. Either you wear makeup as a team, you got
to
make the decision. Either
we're all wearing it
or we're not wearing it.
The L'Oreal Summer Games, the cosmetic sponsor, a big cosmetic sponsor.
You can make a lot more money that way. Get the swimmers wearing that stuff.
How about the closing ceremonies, all the countries have to walk out backwards?
Ooh.
Ah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
They walk out forwards coming in.
Right.
They walk out backwards.
And then you hire a team of trippers, and they fall into a ring of fire or something.
Or on skateboards.
Skateboards or hoverboards or whatever's hip in 2020.
Right. Just an idea.
All right, I know you got to run. Before we do, all these good-feeling pieces about athletes and heartwarming stuff, what if we had bad guy vignettes? You know what I mean?
Like
really terrible people who happen to
qualify. You hear from their brothers who say, this guy may look good, but he's a jackloader, and we don't want him around here. Let's trade him to Belarus. I like that thinking.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, love you.
Love you back. That's Paul Conrad.
Can't put a shark in
the jackloader. We're going to trade him to Belarus. Sums it up. Why can't you put a shark in a pool?
Oh, that'd be brutal.
Oh, I don't know. I think it depends on the lane. A shark in a particular lane.
I don't think sharks like chlorine anyway.
I thought the piranhas was, that was the right touch.
The piranha event was a good touch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with you, Dave. What if in the opening ceremonies, there's a lot of countries, what if in the opening ceremonies you eliminated one country based on fashion? So you let people vote by phone and the internet, and just based on whatever their outfits were coming in, so one of you got to go home immediately. You don't even get to compete. You have to turn around, go to the airport, get on the plane, and go home.
We need someone to host like a red carpet.
Standing out there as the countries come in asking, who are you wearing?
Right. Because some of those outfits are terrible.
Did you see they brought the Tonga guy back?
Yeah, oily Tonga guy. Oily Tonga guy was out there last night.
Oh, I missed him. Bummer.
What does he do now for a living, do you think?
Oh, pose.
I was thinking Jiffy Lube.
He has an endorsement with coconut oil.
Yeah, he's covered with oil anyway. I mean, why not go to Jiffy Lube?
Just not a bad idea.
Motion Carson. You ladies would love it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah, kind of stay under the profile. What I was always good at was letting things go through, like, through one ear, out the other, so to say.
That's Ryan Lochte, who I doubt could spell his last name, who gave an interview to Matt Lauer over the weekend, which today's show will run again this morning, I'm sure. But Ryan Lochte is first and foremost an idiot. I don't like picking on people that are, intellectually,
challenged,
stupid. But to be 32 years old and to be in your fourth Olympic Games, it's not like he doesn't know how this works.
Right.
It's not like he hasn't been read the Riot Act before. It's not like he doesn't understand that you have to be on your best behavior because you're not representing Ryan Lochte or the companies you endorse. You're representing the United States of America.
Well, how about two as a human being? You don't get drunk. You don't go into an establishment, rip off a sign, try and knock down a door. I mean, it's called being an adult.
Yeah, which he's not. And at 32 years old, when the S hits the fan and they end up at a gas station in a cab and they either can't get into the public restroom. Well, look, it doesn't matter what happens at the gas station, the big picture, because that's always their word against his and his buddies. But one of the other guys already came out and said it never happened the way Ryan Lochte said it happened, which really is what led to the apology. And again, can people just apologize? Can you just say you're sorry and legitimately take credit for it? It's not I misspoke. It's not that I over-exaggerated. That's the one he used. I over-exaggerated that part. You mean the part where you said the guy cocked a gun and put it in your forehead?
Yeah.
And then he gets on a plane, and he leaves the other three kids in the country. Gutsy move.
Yeah, big time.
So Ralph Lauren is already gone. His other sponsors and endorsements could add up to as much as $5 million. That should be gone as well. And he should be banned for life.
Yeah.
But as I said earlier, I hope they don't do it to the other guys. But really, I mean, if you listen to Ryan Lochte's words, do we have Ryan? If you listen to Ryan Lochte's words, you really see that there's an essence to the man that's impossible to understand. Because I don't know if it's the ingestion of too much chlorine or if he was born this way, but I have this theory that God might give you too much of something and then take something away. Every female I've ever talked to says he's a good-looking dude. And I can see that even from a guy's perspective. Yeah, he's a good-looking dude. But maybe God went, we gave him too much good-looking. Let's give him half a brain, because here's Ryan Lochte.
So when you talked to Billy on Sunday afternoon, you didn't tell him the whole truth.
It's Billy Bush.
When you spoke with me on Wednesday night by phone, you didn't tell me the whole truth.
I left details out, and which that's why I'm in this mess, is I left certain things out, and I over-exaggerated some parts of the story.
One of the things you appear to have embellished with Billy when you talked to Billy is you said at some point after you refused to sit down, the security guard put the gun to your forehead and cocked it. That didn't happen?
That didn't happen, and that's why I over-exaggerated that part. I was still intoxicated. I was still under that influence, and I'm not making me being intoxicated like an excuse. I'm not doing that at all. I mean, it was my fault. I shouldn't even, the gun was drawn, but not at my forehead. It wasn't cocked at my forehead. It was towards my general direction. And as you can see in the surveillance, that's when my hands went up.
You just can't make it up. You just can't. He's 32 years old. He's acting like he's 18, and it's his first trip away home, away from mom.
Right.
It's not. And we're way beyond the stage of grow up. And on the flip side of that, you see Simone Biles, who's 19 years old, who certainly would have had access to the same temptations, arguably the biggest star of the games. What did she do? Behaved like an absolutely perfectly comported young woman representing America, and spent the entire closing ceremonies taking selfies.
Yeah.
Not of her. Everybody wanted a selfie with her.
Yeah.
Every country. They literally couldn't get other countries in for the closing ceremonies because the receiving line was so slow taking selfies with Simone Biles.
She's a star. And she's more of an adult than Ryan Lochte.
Jerry Al Roker go off on Billy Bush?
No.
Billy Bush was defending Ryan Lochte and sort of couching it as, obviously he's lying. Oh, that lit Roker up.
He lied. He lied to you.
Yeah.
He lied to Matt Lauer. Lied to his mom. He left his teammates hanging while he skedaddled.
He certainly lied about some details.
No, he lied. No, Billy.
Some details?
Billy.
Not some details. There was no robbery.
There was no robbery. There was no pullover. There was nothing. Nobody
there was no
cocked
gun cocked
to his head.
Hold on.
He lied.
Okay, calm down. Listen, if a security guard is standing in front of you with a badge and is asking for money and you don't speak Portuguese.
There was a translator.
Right.
Well, the swimmers, Jimmy Fegan said there wasn't. So it's there's a
but
different
the fact
story.
Is, but,
on
but
that,
if someone's
but,
saying you'll give me money or you can't leave,
he lied.
Sure, he embellished.
No,
that
no,
point.
No, no.
Money unwillingly came out of his pocket.
He lied. They were knocked out. He said they were their car was hit.
That's not true. That's
that
a lie. Well, gun to the head is a Dirty Harry moment. Is a lie. That didn't happen. They weren't
so
sideswiped.
He created all of these moments to make himself look like.
Okay.
But, you know, I've stared them down in the face. It was, like you said, the Dirty Harry moment. I mean, look, come on.
Who's the woman? Was that
Samantha? Was that Samantha?
Oh, that's Natalie Morales.
Oh, Natalie.
Yeah. By the way, just after that clip ended, Al Roker beat Billy Bush with a gold medal. Just hit him over the head with a gold medal over and over
again. It's funny how he didn't back down. I love it. He lied.
Well, he did lie.
He did.
Please. What are we doing? Big story? Break first? Quick break, then a big story on 720 WGN and Dr. Kevin Most coming up.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
Colin Powell's mad at Hillary. I'll tell you that story coming up.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Pretty hear Trump's appeal to black Americans.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
Essentially, it's this. What the hell have you got to lose?
The WGN hotline.
But now...
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Yes, it's Dr. Kevin Most, courtesy of Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. Hi, Doc.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm all right, buddy. How are you?
Not bad. What a beautiful day yesterday, huh?
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah. You know, I got them dogs sitting. So, yeah, it was. I walked 9 miles with the dogs yesterday.
9 miles? Literally 9 miles?
That's what my phone says.
Why? I mean, the dog after three would have been, can we go home now?
No, not these guys.
Oh, they love it.
They love it. Oh, yeah.
Well, where'd you walk 9 miles? I mean, did you need a ride? You could have called me.
No, you know, I take them out to the park. I walk around a long park out in Sugar Grove. I got a lot of.
You got spots. You got places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice where you can take them off the leash and let them run. So
yeah.
Well,
look at you. Look at you and your dog walking weekend.
Should have been on the golf course, but instead I was with the dogs.
You know, I only played 9 holes in the last 3 days, which, you know, is not good. Yeah.
What? Yeah. That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Well, I had family in town.
Oh.
And then you and I were doing the Orion Samuelson thing.
That's right.
So, and we'll explain that later. But for now, just try to figure out what it is. All right, Doc, we don't want to drive people out on a Monday because you're trying to wake up and stuff. But we have something important to discuss here, and that's the Affordable Care Act. The Obamacare, if you will, and where it is and what the update is.
Yeah, Steve, you know, the last 2 weeks, actually, after a kind of a quiet time, we've heard a lot of news, mainly about Illinois and what's going on there. And, you know, we've seen that now as of August 1st, the increases in the insurance from the exchange have been stated. Blue Cross is looking at anywhere from a 23% premium increase to 45%. So you're starting to see companies saying, hey, you know what, time for me to get out of this business. So we've lost enough money. And you're going to start to see the number of companies that are going to be in the marketplace for the Affordable Care Act here in Illinois shrink dramatically.
How is that legal, considering the way the law was originally crafted to make sure that the insurance companies would comply?
Yeah, so, you know, they've had some leeway. And, you know, one of the companies, Land O'Lincoln, said, you know what, you could tell us whatever you want, but we're out of business. We have no money. We cannot continue to do this. And they will stop, you know, caring for patients at the end of this month. So, you know, that's 50,000 people here in Illinois that are going to have to now go find another plan. So the government at least has some leeway in saying, hey, we want you to make this as affordable as possible. And what the government or what the insurance companies are saying, hey, we made it as affordable as possible. We lost $1.5 billion. We have to change this or we're going to be out of business.
Where is the money being lost? Do we know, or is that too deep in the weeds?
Well, it doesn't get that deep in the weeds. And actually, you know, years from now, this is going to be a typical MBA study here because the actuaries for these companies said, you know what? We think everyone is going to come to the marketplace. We think everyone is going to want to have insurance. Well, what they have to realize is a lot of these individuals are barely making by just on the paychecks that they have. So they don't even have that additional $50, $100 a month for insurance, even though it's so heavily subsidized. So what you saw is you saw a lot of these healthy people saying, you know what, I'm not going to take the insurance. I'd rather pay the fine, because the first year the fine was $95. The next year it went to $325, and now it's up to $625. So as that fine has changed, you'll start to see some of these healthy people come in.
Yeah, but even so, you think about it, $625 a year, there's people who would pay that $625 and they'd still save money off 12 months of premiums.
Absolutely. And it's usually those people that are fairly healthy. You got these younger people who are healthy and say, you know what, I haven't been to the doctor in 5 years. I'm going to roll the dice. But the actuaries that try to figure out what the premium should be figure in a whole bunch of these healthy people to help offset the cost of those who have chronic illnesses who ran to get into the marketplace,
right,
who were looking for insurance.
Let's do traffic. Then Andrea has a couple of questions, and I have a couple of follow-ups as well, because we thought this would just be kids who would take the fine. I know people, Doc, and you do as well, 50 years old,
yep,
who aren't doing this. What does it mean for the long-term health of the signature piece of the Obama presidency? Because, you know, and Doc's brought this up before, too, there's a lot of good pieces in Obamacare that work, that are good, that ought to be kept. But it doesn't mean the whole bill is good. That's been the whole problem all along. The problem on the Republican side is repeal it and replace it with what? 6:47, we go to traffic, and Mary's back with that on 720 WGN. Sponsored by, as all of this is, Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. It's Dr. Kevin Most. Did you watch the end of the Olympics, Doc?
The end of the
Olympics?
No.
Too busy on your 9-mile walk with your dogs?
How did it end? Did we win more medals than everyone?
We got a billion. We got a billion, yep, medals. Everybody else had two.
Yeah.
No, we won. We won the most medals. We dominated. We stomped on the rest of the world. Isn't that what it's all about? Did I miss the memo on the Olympic spirit? Did I miss the memo on what it's really all about? We're talking about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare in particular. Andrea, what were you asking Doc about?
Well, this week, I, and both of you know, I had a deductible issue. It was a question, and I just wasn't aware. I mean, it's so hard at the beginning of the year when you go through your insurance to try to figure out, okay, should I pay more to get a lower deductible? So is that going to shift, Doc? I mean, is it going to become even more difficult now to try to figure that out and predict what's going to happen with the rising costs?
Yeah, it is. I think a couple things are going to happen. What we're seeing and what the predictions are is that right now we're starting to see companies try to push people into the high deductible plans. And it's happening. I mean, the predictions are that about 65-70% of people will be in high deductible plans within the next 3 or 4 years. And the reason for that is, one, the premium is lower, and it shifts some of the, I'll say, onus onto the individual now. If I have a huge high deductible, I'm going to say, boy, do I really need to have that test? And if I do need to have that test, where's the least expensive place I can get it done at? So you're going to start to see more and more. Interesting, the Land of Lincoln plan that just went out of business, a lot of people had already paid their deductible, and now they're going to have 4 months where if they get into the Blue Cross product, they're going to have to pay that deductible again. So more and more people are going to be looking at, what plan am I in? Can I afford it? And those who are in the high deductible plan, because you're paying a lower premium, sock some money away, because that deductible hurts when you have to pay it.
So for the insurance companies, the high deductible, even though they're not getting the money up front as much, it pays because the testing costs go down in the back.
Correct.
All right. Just so I'm understanding where you're going with this. Because the other thing is, you brought up Aetna at the top, and the big boys, the big insurance companies, they're parsing out what they're going to be willing to do. And it seems like it's like when you leave at a party and you start to leave and you make your way towards the front door before you can leave. It feels like what Aetna's doing.
That is exactly what Aetna's doing. And Cigna's doing just the opposite. Cigna's now coming into the market, because now what's happening is Cigna said, all right, you guys that got to the party early, you guys got the boring part that was very expensive. Now I'm going to come in because I know some of the healthy people are joining and my premiums can be higher. So it's this amazing, fascinating business plan as you watch it play out. But also what you're going to start to see, Steve, is a lot of companies are going to start saying, you know what, we want to get out of the insurance business completely. Walgreens, for example, used to provide insurance to their employees. Now what they say is, this is how much I spend on each of you for insurance. Here is that amount of money. You guys go get your own insurance. We're out of the insurance business now.
That makes it tough, too, because if you are companies, and people think that insurance is a mandate, insurance is a benefit. Benefits like insurance are offered as a competitive way to draw employees in. There's no legal right to health insurance. Companies don't have to offer it. But now, if somebody as big as Walgreens is saying you're on your own, I mean, that's not good. I know a lot of people are trying to go out and get individual insurance. The prices are nuts.
Yeah, and they're saying, they're not saying you're on your own so much. They're saying, you know what, this is how much we had given you in the past, and every month you paid this much. That total should still get you insurance. But why don't you go and choose it? Why don't you go and do it? And now Walgreens says, I know what my total costs are. Walgreens and a lot of companies, even Northwestern, we're big enough to be self-insured, so we take all the risk for all our employees. Companies are starting to say, it's not worth that risk anymore. I want to know what the total cost is going to be. Now you go to the marketplace and get your insurance.
You never think about that, right? You never think about that, a hospital, a major hospital with health insurance for its people. But obviously it makes sense, right? It's not like Doc can go, I got a cough, I'm just going to go lay down in one of these rooms.
Right. It's scary to think that you might not be able to be offered insurance. But Doc, with Cigna back in the game and Aetna and Blue Cross still in, obviously, will that make it competitive in any way that could benefit employees?
Well, Aetna's out. Aetna decided they're going to be out of the marketplace. UnitedHealthcare is, you know, making rumblings that they may be out as well. They're going to leave. So it depends on what happens to Blue Cross and Cigna, probably. They're going to start to see that there'll be many Blue Cross products. Advocate Healthcare has their own Blue Cross product just for Advocate hospitals. So you're going to start to see what they call narrow network options, where patients can, individuals can get in, but they can only go to a certain number of doctors. They can only go to a specific doctor or specific hospitals. You're going to start to see that because that allows them to control their costs even more.
So your advice is put some cash aside, treat it like money that you need to save for Christmas, for whatever, so you can cover your deductible. And be as healthy as you possibly can be, more so now than ever.
Absolutely. I mean, and that is it. And, you know, start to be that smart consumer. Start to ask those questions. You know, when you're given a medication, say, is there a generic I can take for this?
Right.
You know, and if they're going to order a test, do I really need this test? Why am I getting this test? What is it for? And what are the outcomes going to be?
And shop around for your test, too.
And demand from your Republican candidates what the answer is. Repeal and replace. Replace it with what? Because you can peel some stuff out of Obamacare that you have to keep and come up with a better law. Geniuses. Thanks, Doc. I'll talk to you later.
You got it. Talk to you later.
And Doc's going to go on a 12-mile walk with his cat. Again, that's Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. When my
baby's home, one more time. When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio. Come on, everybody. De Janeiro. Let's dance a little. I go wild and then I have to do the samba and the bumba. Stacy St. Clair in line at the airport Starbucks in Rio. I don't know. Where are you, Stace?
I'm at my hotel.
What time do you leave today?
I don't leave for, you know what? They sent out warning saying that it would be a six-hour line to the airport the day after the game. So I'm leaving tomorrow so I can face a shorter airline.
You're leaving tomorrow because you met somebody special in Rio, and it was the oiled-up guy from Tonga. Mm-hmm.
He's staying an extra day too, Stacey.
Yeah, but that's
he'll have to head over.
A coincidence, I'm sure. Stacey has to change his oil. Yeah, so let's just go over and re-oil him. He was actually on the closing ceremony, Stacey. I don't know if you saw him. He was shinier than he was on opening night.
Did you think so? I thought he looked a little bit less shiny, but I was much further away from him this time, so I didn't exactly tell. Mm-hmm.
I was blinded by his shine.
He was devastated on Saturday when he lost by basically the slaughter rule in Taekwondo. And, you know, he talked to reporters afterwards and he was like, you know, I really thought I was among the best in the world. And it's like, really? You did? Because nobody else did. Everybody's here to cover, you know, the coconut oil.
He just looked at him like Jennifer Aniston looked at Joey at one point on Friends and said, you're pretty. That's really, exactly. That's really all he needs. You know what I thought was really cool last night in the closing ceremonies was the Prime Minister of Japan pretending it was Super Mario. It was tremendous.
It was something that I just stopped and stared like, am I seeing that? Because he was a surprise. He wasn't listed in our program as happening. And all of a sudden you're like, is that the Prime Minister? other reporters are like, but yeah, it was. And it was supposed to symbolize that even though they're an ocean apart, Japan and Rio are still connected. That's what the pipe symbolized.
And yeah. Mario.
Super Mario can get you there.
Got it.
With a Super Mario bowling ball.
Got it.
But Shinzo Abe, that is the best Olympic ceremony moment since James Bond jumped out of the helicopter with the Queen.
I think so. And I think it was, you know, the Queen actually had like a stunt double. This guy really popped out of that, you know.
Yeah. I thought it was very cool.
Popping out of that.
It's so good because Nintendo hasn't gotten any pub lately.
No, and you're exactly right, Dave. And it's also good because I don't know about you. I don't think of Shinzo Abe. I never think of the comedy stylings of Shinzo Abe.
He was uncertain of his own comedy stylings when he popped up there for a minute.
All right, now what are you going to remember most outside of Oiled Up Tonga Guy?
You know, everyone's going to make fun of me, but I went to Rhythmic Gymnastics on Saturday, and it was like, I mean, I found my happiness there. It was like the most like relaxing place with like ribbons twirling around to music, and so you know what? That's what's gonna be for me. And like when I was there, this Japanese TV station came up to me and they're like, "Will you do some analysis of this competition during the break?" And I had never seen rhythm gymnastics in my life, so I was like, "Maybe not." They're like, "Well, just come and talk about the German team." And I was like, "I don't even know which is the German team." So, you know, because their ribbons don't match their country color. If the ribbons were the country flag colors, I'd follow along a little bit better, but it was hard.
But your fascination with the ribbons, were you possibly downwind from Ryan Lochte's bong just before you walked in?
I know. Everyone's making fun of me because I enjoyed it so much. I would have stayed for, you know, a couple more days of rhythmic competition.
There's great artistry there. You can't deny it.
Stace. Lots of hand-eye coordination, too.
Oh, yeah.
Stace,
yeah.
What country that you maybe weren't familiar with from the last time, or what, you know, not a mainstream country, but what country kind of caught your eye this time? Azerbaijan?
Djibouti?
Oh, no. I think it's Mongolia.
Oh, Mongolia.
Did you see them yesterday?
Oh, yeah, when they took the clothes off? Yeah.
The coach is
the
losing
coach
it.
Who protested, and he just, like, I mean, you're watching, and all of a sudden he's taking off his shirt, and you think, oh, did they win? Because I really wasn't paying attention to that match.
Right,
and I was
right.
They win? Then I was like, why is he his, you know, like he's down to his underwear on the mat to show his taste, and he's handing his clothes to the judges. And I wasn't really sure what the symbolism of that was, but like the point got across.
Yeah, I don't know either. I guess we'd have to know Mongolian culture more because, you know, in the Middle East, you throw your shoe at someone because the bottom of your shoe is the most offensive thing you can show to somebody. Maybe in Mongolia, fat guys getting naked is the most offensive thing you can do, and maybe we can share that.
And then they took their clothes and they whipped them on the floor. Then they started stomping on the clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe there's something there.
And there wasn't anybody, you know, in the interview area that could translate the Mongolian. So, like, you couldn't even ask them, like, okay, what is this all about? You just had to go with it.
Well, you know what they say about Mongolia? Mongo just a pawn in the game of life. Thank you. That's a Blazing Saddles reference.
Very nice.
All right, so obviously you're running around watching the events, covering the events at Chicago Tribune, ChicagoTribune.com. But did anybody talk about NBC's coverage? I know it's a weird question for people in Rio, but the reason I bring it up is that just was flat to me. There was something about this Olympics where they got to figure out a new angle.
You know, I would get questions like on Twitter and stuff, and it's sort of hard to tell what NBC is doing, but NBC completely rules our lives here. You know, they have all the, you know, you can't videotape someone when you're talking to them if you're inside a fence in the park. I mean, NBC controls everything. They have their own entrances. They have their own rights to interview athletes first before the rest of the press does. So I come from a position of feeling a little bit, you know, resentment.
Sure.
A little bit of resentment towards NBC in general after 3 weeks here, but I don't know much about their coverage.
Yeah, see what you think when you come back. I don't know. It just struck me as odd. And obviously, Ryan Lochte got way more publicity than he should have, even though it was a legitimate news story and remains a legitimate news story. Do you have any mm-hmm. sense of what will happen to the other three swimmers who didn't, lie after lie after lie and aren't 32 years old?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan is done, but I think whatever happens to him will be sort of a ceremonial, you know, ban because, you know, he was done competitively anyway. I do think the other three will be punished in some form. The USOC said yesterday that, you know, the two didn't lie to the police, the two who were just sort of released without any kind of fine. They didn't lie to the police, but the USOC said yesterday that all four swimmers provided inaccurate information to the USOC, to the head of the USOC, and probably more importantly, to the State Department when the U.S. consulate got involved. So I think that might be enough just on its own merit to see the three of them punished in some form. Do I think it'll be a lifetime ban for the younger two, the ones who weren't charged or paid any fines or anything? I don't. I think it'll be some kind of, maybe penalty that stings, but nothing that's career ending.
Stacey, when you left Sochi, you wanted to bring back a little puppy, was it not, that who was kind of camped outside of your barracks where you were staying? Is there any pet, aside from an oily Tonka man or anything, that you are going to bring back from Rio?
A Zika mosquito. A lizard.
No, I'd like to bring back those capybaras, those like horse-sized rodents that are on the golf course here. They're. Have you seen those?
They're bizarre. They are bizarre.
So everyone has seen one but me here. So I feel like today I'm going to go out. I'm going to find myself a capybara.
I have enough trouble hitting a four iron lately, let alone one of those bad boys bearing down on me. The last question I have for you, and again, Stacey St. Clair, you follow her on social media at Stacey St. Clair, StacyStClair. The next three Olympics, two Winter Games and the next Summer Games, are all in the Far East. I think we go from Korea to Tokyo to Beijing. So is that unusual? Is that because nobody else wants to go broke hosting the Olympics? What's that about?
It is unusual, right? Because they like to alternate. It's China because in 2022, because really nobody else wanted it. It was between China and Kazakhstan. And they just felt that Beijing would be better ready for games than Kazakhstan would be. So that's how that happened. The same with Korea. It's really hard to host a Winter Olympics, because you have to have, you know, certain elements in place, you know, cold weather, mountains. So it's a little bit less surprising for the winter. And then the summer, it hadn't been in Asia for a while. So that's how that happens. But, you know, L.A. is trying to get the summer games in 2024. And they're hoping that the whole idea that this has been in, you know, Asia for three cycles will work in their favor and bring it back to North America. But, you know, Korea says that they'll be ready this November. All their venues will be completed. All their infrastructure will be in place. So, you know, they're already ahead of Rio.
Yeah, well, that's great. And thanks for the great coverage, as always. The thing I love about you, Stacey, is not only delivering the news, but you're really just the right amount of twisted for this show as well. That's a compliment, by the way. That's a compliment.
I'm going to take it as such, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, try to get Oily Tonga Guy out of your room by the time your plane's coming.
Okay, I'll try.
Right, talk to you later.
Bye, Stace.
Stacey St. Clair. She's great.
She's the best.
Mary, you have traffic for us, and I think we should make the text question today. What's the dumbest lie you ever have told or been told? In honor of Ryan Lochte. So in honor of Ryan Lochte, the text question of the day, dumbest lie you ever told or were told. Okay, got it?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
What do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump? What do you have to lose? You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose? And at the end of 4 years, I guarantee you that I will get over 95% of the African-American vote. I promise you.
I don't think he gets enough oxygen. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a... Maybe he broke his nose at some point. Maybe it's a sinus problem. But there's definitely something... There's not getting enough oxygen to the brain. That's got to be... It's got to be a medical reason to make statements like that. Donald Trump reaching out to the African-American voter by saying, your lives are a complete disaster. Your lives are just tragic and a disaster. Your schools are a mess. By the way, the 58% unemployment figure, like everything else he states, is complete nonsense. The African-American youth unemployment rate is somewhere between 15 and 20%, unless you fold in every black kid in high school and in college that doesn't have a job, which, by the way, could be their own choice because they're in high school or in college.
I would also hazard to guess not everybody is living in poverty.
What? Let me ask you a second. Just Let me ask you a question. What do you have to lose? What do you, well, you know, maybe the country? Kellyanne Conway is Trump's new campaign manager, even though this guy from Breitbart is probably getting more press. Kellyanne Conway was asked about Trump's approach to African-Americans, and see if you can notice, as I did, what the narrow-minded problem may be here.
Many in the African-American community saw that as insulting, as they say most African-Americans don't live in poverty, and that Mr. Trump was making those comments in communities that are more than 90% white.
But those comments are for all Americans, and I live in a white community. I'm white. I was very moved by his comment. In other words, he is trying to tell Americans that we can do better. And the thing that he said that I think got a great deal of resonance is that maybe Hillary Clinton looks at you as voters this year, takes you for granted. I look at you as people. And if you, again, George, if you think 58% of unemployment in the African-American youth community is a good idea, then absolutely please go vote for Hillary Clinton, everyone.
I don't know if Stephanopoulos called her out on that number, because, again, the number is not factually correct in any way, shape, or form. Having said that, the fact that his campaign manager said, I'm white and I was inspired, well, it doesn't exactly answer the question of why black folks may have been offended by that. Meanwhile, I'd like to tell you the other side's doing really well, but no less than Colin Powell said, Hillary Clinton's people keep throwing me in the mix. Keep bringing me up, because Hillary Clinton, and we'll get into this later, but Hillary Clinton keeps saying, hey, the email thing wasn't me. It was Powell, the P-man, Colin Powell. Colin Powell's the one that said, use your private server, use your email at home. Yet Colin Powell came out this weekend and said she'd been using a private server for a year before they ever discussed it officially. So Hillary Clinton, maybe Ryan Lochte went to Hillary Clinton lying camp and how to apologize. Because Hillary Clinton still hasn't said, man, am I full of crap? Because that may be the way that she actually takes a lead she can keep in this disaster of a presidential election between these two clowns.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:43 now. Our friend Tom Wilson, the boss at Allstate, is welcome here anytime. But he only comes in to talk about We Day. Acts like he's busy running one of the world's largest companies. Whatever. How are you? Nice to see you.
I'm doing great, Steve.
Congratulations. I can't believe it's time for We Day again. It seems like yesterday we were talking about this.
Well, remember we had Leo Sarabia here, and we were going to vote for him for president. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Mr. Fired Up.
Yeah, well, the good news is not only are we back... We had 150,000 kids in Illinois this year, all doing volunteer work, which has been great.
Youth empowerment means teaching kids how to give back in ways that'll kind of maximize their lives as well, right?
Yeah, well, what we do with We Schools, and if you're a parent, you should get your kid involved in We Schools. They do things on diversity, food banks, environment, whatever, you know, bullying. And it just gets kids involved in civic engagement. And they do volunteer work through the school. And they feel better about themselves. Their teachers are more motivated. It's just, it's good all around.
There's endless benefits. Now, as chairman and CEO of Allstate, you've got plenty of people that, you know, that you bump into. Maybe it's a golf game. Maybe it's, you know, friends at a party. Hey, Tom, I've got this thing. I was wondering if you guys at Allstate would be willing to, you know, you get asked all the time. All the time. So when the We Day people come to you, how do you decide this is something we have to do?
Well, they came to me and they wanted 5 minutes, turned in a half hour, turned in a couple hours, and we just got excited about the youth. I mean, if you think about when we do this thing called We Day, where you get 15,000 of the kids in a stadium, and we do it all around the country.
And they have to earn their way to this party.
They have to earn their way to it, and they are so excited, so motivated. If you're ever distraught about America, go listen to 15,000 kids who have been doing volunteer work, and you just have hope. And when you hear that hope, you're like, we got to do this. Like, sure. This got to be part of our company.
So there's a couple of kids you wrote about recently, which I noticed were just great stories, Destiny Watson and Griffin Saul. And these are just, you know, small stories about kids doing phenomenal things. Destiny, a senior at Homewood Flossmoor, started her own nonprofit. It's called You Matter 2, You Matter in the Number 2, to try to get other kids involved in fighting hunger and fighting poverty. And then Griffin Saul, a junior at Lincoln Park High School, founded We Are Able, a nonprofit that empowers young people with disabilities and their families to improve their quality of lives. Now, about you, Tom, when I see kids who are playing Pokemon Go and you're hoping they find their way home, it's just good to see these kids at that age taking this kind of initiative.
Well, you see thousands of them. So there's another girl, Razia Hutchins, who went to Perspectives here in Chicago. She said she was upset about the violence. She said, you know, don't be a victim, be a voice. Got 500 kids to go on a march, and everyone was nervous about the march. You know, is there going to be violence? Gang going to come out? All of a sudden, it went to 4,000. They did a documentary. She's at the University of Missouri now, involved in student government. These kids go on, Steve, as you point out, they go on to take on bigger and bigger roles because they believe in themselves.
Right.
And all we're doing is giving them a chance.
You know what's cool, Tom, too, is to see, and we've seen this firsthand too, Steve, the kids getting each other involved.
Yes.
Come on, let's get the class, or let's get my buddies or my girlfriends from on the block. They all get together and do everything. Paint, clean up a park. So it's cool to see the kids getting each other involved.
Well, and we've really become a movement. So we now, around the world, has 5 million people signed up on Facebook. You go to we.org. And in Chicago or in Illinois, from Springfield to Roseland, we got, you know, 150,000 kids. We're trying to get to 2.5 million in the United States. We're at 1 million right now. And we're trying to continue to expand it throughout the United States.
The good news is there's also a television show, ABC's involved. Yeah. So we'll tell you about that coming up in just a second. We'll tell you how you can become a We School and continue to preach the good sermon here of We Day and how kids can be involved. Again, Tom Wilson's here, CEO at Allstate. And we're going to talk about my collision and comprehensive during the break and see if I'm covered.
We're here for you. Good hands.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
752, Tom Wilson's here, chairman and CEO at Allstate. Great partners and good friends of ours, and we appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be in the Allstate Showcase studio. How's your summer been? You been busy?
I've been very busy, yeah. We had some recognition we do for our Allstate agents a couple weeks ago, and it's a good time to be in Chicago.
Yeah, of course. Do anything fun, though? Get the family?
I took last week off in New Buffalo, Michigan, so we have a house there, and it was fun. You've turned into an impromptu family vacation.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. I can make a call in the Dells, get you a place. If you need some help with that, let me know.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. In the meantime, we're talking about We Day. Let's talk about this ABC show. Now, what is this is going to be on the 28th at 6 o'clock Chicago time.
Right. So We Day is the recognition event for the kids who are participating. Selena Gomez, Seth Rogen, Tyrese Gibson, a lot of high-profile entertainers, a lot of world leaders come. And it's 3 to 4 minute segments where these people talk about giving back. So it's high energy, there's music. And so we have an hour. ABC gave us an hour. No commercials, so I record it, show it to your kids. They'll get excited.
That's tremendous.
You know, and so it's all about helping kids see the benefit of volunteering.
We Day, again, for those of you maybe just kicked your radio on, as you go to work this morning, if you got a kid that's high energy and you assume the kid knows how to give back, kids don't. You have to show them the way. And these We Schools are the way to get this done. So how do schools become We Schools?
You just go to we.org, sign up, get the teachers to do it. If you're a parent, ask the teacher if they've been doing it. We give materials to the teacher to help them show kids how to give back. And it's things, you know, we put things on the bulletin board and, you know, or we build a brick in a school in Kenya or do a hunger drive and for people in this, poor areas in Chicago. It's all about just giving back. And they're cause inclusive. They don't care what you do. Right. Just do something.
Yeah, that's it. Just do something is a great slogan.
We talked to, I think, one of the students last year who went to a nursing home and just sat with some of the residents and talked and It could be anything. Talking with people, helping clean up the community. You know, I was going to say, remember clamping out the erasers? Going to a school and doing that?
But do you still clap out the erasers? Is there an app for that? There's probably an app for that.
They still use chalk.
But the great thing is those are moments. You know, like, and we all have moments in our lives where it really changed the direction of our life. Somebody you met, something that each of us would say, that was something that happened to me.
Sure.
And what that means is that moment lasts for eternity, right? It's with you your whole life. It changes the direction of your life. And so this is about creating moments. And the great thing is that if a moment can live for eternity, that means that every moment is an opportunity to shape eternity. So these kids have an opportunity to shape eternity, could be a senior citizen, could be helping someone of their compatriots who's
could
being
be their
bullied.
Parents.
Their parents. Exactly. That's a perfect idea.
Yeah, because the thing that I see all the time with kids, we do Kid of the Week every week where we just highlight a kid, you know, just good news about a kid. Been doing it for years. And what we find more often than not is the beauty of kids is they don't understand no. They don't see the wall for the possibilities. So they can come up with a brilliant idea because their imagination can run wild. And they don't see all the blocks and stops in the way, and We Day gives them the architecture to help get those things done.
Yeah, that's from our experience, 1,000% correct. They are problem solvers, not problems to be solved.
Right. That's another great way to put it. Yeah. But I love just do something. Just do something.
Well, they get expired, you know, like in something like 80% of them, then after they get through the WE program, when they're eligible to vote in a national election, vote. You know, 90% of them do more volunteer work throughout their life, whatever it is. And, like, that's what our community is about. It's about helping each other.
I've known you for a while, but I see you talking about We Day, and you light up. I really have a sense this means as much to you as anything you've been involved with.
It's the funnest thing I do. I mean, seeing these kids just inspires you. Like, wow. Like, and if they can do that, then you almost in some ways feel bad. You're like, geez, I feel like a moke. I should be doing something else.
Right. We feel that way with Kid of the Week usually, too.
Yeah, Andrea made a good point. You know, these Kid of the Week things, you go, well, I got to look at my kids and go, get off the couch.
Do something.
We schools get this done. We Day is upon us again. And young people like Destiny and Griffin, who we were talking about before, and a million examples that Tom Wilson can give you, be a part of the pride of the We Day special airing August 28th at 6 o'clock Chicago time on ABC. And thanks to Allstate for the support as well, not just for the program, for the ABC piece of this as well, because I think that's another level, right? Because then that goes out, it's viral, everybody sees it, the completely unplugged generation that doesn't believe in television anymore, they're watching it online, they're sharing it with their friends. So these numbers just going to go up year after year.
Well, and you're part of the movement too, like letting people know. So if you're listening, like We.org, get your kids in and give them a little push. Sometimes they need a little push, but once they get in, they'll take you where you wouldn't go by yourself.
It's a great website too.
Yeah, it is. We.org. And if you see Tom out, don't be frightened. He's a very nice guy. And if he's in line at Jewel trying to pay for his stuff, just go up and go, Mr. Wilson, Steve Cochran said I could ask you, how do I get involved in We Day?
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
And congratulations on all your success, but mostly, Tom, congratulations on We Day. It's pretty
good.
Well,
you know, it just makes you feel good about giving people the opportunity to be something more than they would normally be. It's a privilege to be able to do it.
Yeah, take the energy of kids and really pay it forward. Thank you, Allstate. More from the Allstate Showcase Studio coming up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, or just to kiss me good.
8:13 now, Dean Richards live from Channel 9.
Hello.
Hello, buddy. How are you?
Fine and dandy. Dandy and fine. Both.
We're taking texters in honor of Ryan Lochte. Dumbest lie you've ever told or ever been told.
Oh.
My stepfather used to lie about his military experience. I found out when I was older watching Die Hard. He told me that exact thing happened to him.
Love it.
You know, kids, I was once at Nakatomi Towers, and I was minding my own business. It was Christmas, and I thought I could just spend time with my family. But no, I eventually had to kill a guy and several other guys, and my feet were bloody. Yeah, that would come back to haunt you, I think, don't you?
That's pretty specific.
Yeah.
I find with lying, you have to be a little, vague.
Let's see. I knocked the thermostat clean off the wall while practicing karate moves with my son. I told my son not to talk about it, and I just propped it back on. While my wife went to adjust the temperature because it was very warm, it fell off. I came running from the kitchen and told her, "Why'd you break that?" She got very defensive and got upset, swore she had no idea what happened, and apologized, said she'd buy a new one. I haven't told her the truth, but I did get a babysitter for the following weekend, so I think we're even. Yeah, I think your wife needs to date.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, stupid lies. Stupid lies in honor of Ryan Lochte. Texters at 312-981-7200. How was your weekend?
It was great. Nice and relaxing.
Yeah.
Didn't really do any. Oh, I went to the dance benefit, Dance for Life, that I've hosted. I hosted it for 20 years. I haven't for the last 5 years, but I went to see Dance for Life on Saturday night, and it was absolutely delightful. And then got stuck in 2 hours of Pearl Jam traffic.
Delight that is!
Yeah. Apparently, to get into a Pearl Jam concert. I didn't realize this till I was stuck in traffic and just observing the people coming out. Very orderly, very nice crowd, no rowdiness or anything like that. But apparently, in order to get into a Pearl Jam concert, you've got to be like a 45-year-old male wearing your baseball cap backwards, or they won't even let you in.
That's the entry fee. You need a ticket, and you need your baseball cap backwards. At age 45 or older.
Something like, yeah. That's what seemed to be the majority of the people who went to the show.
For example, Nick DiGilio was there.
Well, mm-hmm. Case in point.
I guess it was Dave Ennett. Somebody pointed out to me that Nick Facebook posted that he has seen Pearl Jam 41 times.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's quite a lot.
Can you imagine seeing one act 41 times?
And who counts it?
I haven't seen my mother 41 times.
Yeah. No.
Me neither, Dean. No. That's the problem.
No, and I hesitate to say this in regards to Nick because I think it's redundant, but there got to be something wrong with you if you go to the concert 41 times.
Same band, right?
Yeah.
Not 41 concerts, the same band 41 times.
After 40 times, God, become a roadie.
And he said he's seen Cheap Trick even more.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Yikes.
I think we're going to have to put
We're Nick, on his show, so that doesn't matter.
We're going to have to put Nick in that home we've talked about for years.
What band or performer have you seen the most in concert?
I'd have to think about it. The Bangles.
I sound really jaded, but when I was a disc jockey for 20 years or 15 or whatever it was, I saw a lot of concerts. I don't really care to go to concerts. You know what I mean?
Oh, see, I still like to go.
Multiple concerts. I've seen Springsteen a couple times. I've seen Billy Joel 4 or 5 times.
Never seen Springsteen in concert.
If Billy Joel was at Walgreens across the street, I'd think, the walk sign's not on.
I saw him in the airport once.
He's been on the show.
Are
he's
you
a
sure
fabulous
it was,
guy.
You sure it wasn't me?
Oh, it was Dean. Forget it. It was Dean.
May have been me.
He's a fabulous
entertainer. Or Tom Skilling.
I love Billy Joel, but come on, 41 times.
I can't think of, for work, when I was on music stations, you see a lot of shows. I don't want to brag how many Kenny G concerts I've been to. I don't want to make everyone.
Well, you did his hair for years.
I did. Yeah. I really should have studied it first before I touched it. But just for fun, for enjoyment, I think I've seen Tina Turner like 4 times.
Yeah, she did. She's a great entertainer.
The most amazing concert ever, Tina Turner.
Well, I mean,
but 4 times, not 40.
I actually saw, and it was a very limited engagement. It's a true story. In D.C., at whatever they were calling the place where the Capitals and the basketball team plays now, I saw Tina Turner and Bob Seger together.
Wow.
Ooh. Fabulous concert. Thank you, Tina.
Yeah.
All right, Sandberg, you were at the Pearl Jam concert with Nick?
I was not with Nick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was there, and I left early.
What?
Yeah. Oh. I can't be there that long with all those people.
Because well, didn't he play for 3.5 hours?
Yeah, over 3 hours. 36 songs.
You know what? Unplug the power.
He started at 8. I asked Pat at 9, how long do we have to stay? And so, I like their music, but I just don't like being with a lot of people.
It's just too much.
Yeah, and you know, people watching music, they get really intimate, and I don't want to be intimate with them being intimate. It's awkward. And
it's too much love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's how Tyra and I met. You know, we were at a concert. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I know, Dean, you said it was a triumph, and Nick said it was the best show he's ever seen, and I was on the at home on the couch by 10:40. And they
actually, Dean said he was trying to get home in his triumph.
Right.
And he was caught in Pearl Jam.
I wasn't at the show, just all the reviews that I've read. The Tribune called it a triumphant, show. And,
honestly,
and
he talks too much.
Everybody, he does talk. You know what? I've seen a lot of clips of
I love
this
when
show.
You two sound older than me now.
He does talk a lot. There is a lot of setup.
Yeah, and there's 35 songs. That's why it takes 4 hours, because he's talking too much. Yeah, like, just get through the song.
I will say a couple of, this is all based on clips that I've seen, but he brought, he sang his Cubs anthem.
Yeah, we're going to play a clip of it.
Someday We'll Go All the Way, but he brought up the children of the late Ron Santo, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Brought up who he called his favorite Cub, Jose Cardenal. On the stage while he performed that song. He brought up Steve Gleason, the former NFL player who's now living with ALS. He speaks with a computer synthesizer like Roger Ebert did in his last day because of the Lou Gehrig's disease, and paid tribute to him. He paid tribute to the lead singer of the Canadian band, Tragically Hip, which I think is pretty cool. The lead singer of the band, Gord Downie, has a very aggressive type of brain cancer. It's not going to make it, but they went on a short little tour of their native Canada just one last time, and their final show, probably the band's final show, was Saturday night, and Eddie Vedder gave a really beautiful tribute to Gord Downie as part of the thing as well. So it's sweet, but I think Mary's got a point. You know, if there's 36 songs and you're getting, like a 5-minute intro on every song, that's a lot.
Every time you sit down on the stool, I'm like, oh, here we go. Get a chit-chat.
I'm also hearing he brought up Pat Sajak at one point. It was at the concert. He brought up Ryan Lochte's cab driver. He brought up my best friend from first grade, Mark Stevens, who I haven't seen in years.
Wow.
Kind of makes me wish I'd come to the show.
And then, a soldier got engaged on stage. I'm like, what are you doing off staging my engagement on the 17th hole at Glencoe?
It's outrageous. Yeah. 3.5 hours. Good God. You know what that is? That's 3 concerts. Give me 10 seconds of the...
you are 100 years old.
I really am, aren't I? Give me 10 seconds of Eddie Vedder singing about the Cubs.
You know what else they did before the show? The band does a little impromptu set on the roof of Murphy's Bleachers for the people who are assembled out at Sheffield and Waveland. Just throw a little thing. So it was kind of cool. I don't know if they're going to do that tonight. They have another show tonight. I'll be avoiding the area as much as possible so as not to get stuck in all that traffic again, so I can also feel like I'm 100 like Steve.
Mm-hmm.
I have these traffic with these kids out there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Apparently a good time had by all except Mary.
I'll see Pearl Jam if they come to my house and play in my garage. It's 8:22. Mary has your traffic, and we're back with other concert news. Prince news, which isn't good, and Lindsay Lohan and Vladimir Putin, America's and Russia's hot new couple. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh. Top man, pro and steady. Tune him in because he's always ready. It's 8:26. Andrea is at the Go-Go Show Friday night. Here's your third 3-second review.
Awesome. Loved it. Hour and a half out. They were great.
There you go. What's the Prince story, Dean?
They found the drugs that they had, the autopsy had determined was the cause of death for Prince. They weren't able to find fentanyl before, although when they did the autopsy, it revealed that it was an accidental overdose of that opiate. Where they found it was in a bottle of Aleve. How weird is that?
Bizarre.
Whether he put it there or somebody put it there, whether he knew what he was taking, thought he was taking a leave, but really was taking something that's considered about 40 times more powerful than heroin. I guess they're still trying to figure out. I don't know how they possibly can do that. But he had no, the authorities are saying he had no prescriptions for any of the controlled substances that were found in his home. They also found pills that were labeled Watson 385, which is a medication that contains acetaminophen and hydrocodone. So,
oh, hydrocodone.
Yeah, there were controlled substances definitely found, but the story today is that they did find the fentanyl, which is linked by autopsy to his overdose that killed him last April.
I've just received word that Eddie Vedder also brought up oiled up Tonga guy on stage, failed presidential candidate Jeb Bush, and Jeff Hoover from the Channel 9 Morning News, because Hoover will appear on stage anywhere.
That is very true.
So
that is very true.
All right. Well, Miranda Lambert got engaged. Good for her.
Yeah, this is nice. You know, I get recovering from the whole Blake Shelton thing beautifully over the weekend. She was proposed to and accepted. It was a 6-year-old little boy named Sebastian who came to a meet and greet after her show
and proposed to her.
Comes backstage, gets down on one knee, pulls a ring box out of his pocket, opens it up, brings her a ring, said that he is in love with her and wants to marry her. And
kid's got game.
He gets right to the point.
Yeah. It's
no goofing around. Didn't even have to buy her dinner or anything. First meeting, and just goes for it. She says yes, but that he would have to wait for about 25 years. So get back to me in 25 years, and we'll update the story.
31, 2, something like that?
Yeah, so...
So he'd be 31, she'd be 57?
Yeah, that's...
I don't like her chances at that point.
I think that's perfect.
It's nice. It's a nice story, it really is.
It's perfect. Mom...
Miranda, I want to ask your dad for your hand in marriage. Where is he? Where's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? the mom said that he went to the store and bought the ring himself.
That's a pretty cool story.
And was waiting for a chance to propose to her.
Very nice. In other news from the child end of things, it's not so cute. Mel Gibson.
It's been 6 years since that awful recording came out of him, browbeating his then girlfriend.
And he's a charmer, Dean. I think you know that better than most.
I do. I do know when you get wrapped in his web of charisma,
yeah,
there's no getting out of it. This poor woman actually had to live with him, though, and put up with quite a bit of stuff from him. They have a 6-year-old daughter together, so she's been getting child support. She's been getting $20,000 a month, which I don't even know how you scrape by on that much.
No, you can't.
Money. How do you raise a child on $20,000 a month? It's nearly impossible. So she was trying to up that amount a little bit. She asked for $100,000 a month, a little easier, to get by with that amount. They went back and forth and back and forth, settled on $30,000 a month. So that's the latest settlement on this. There was a one-time payout offer that was proposed to her. Oksana Gregoriva is her name. $15 million done, finished, and over with.
And she turned it down?
She turned it down. Part of the conditions of that $15 million was that she destroy the recordings that she has of him, keep them private, destroy them, that they are never to be surfaced again.
And she wouldn't do it.
And she wouldn't do it.
She sounds like a charmer as well. They really deserve each other. Is there a chance we'll get new Mel Gibson tapes now?
Who knows?
It's Mel!
Who knows? I know I can't wait.
He leaves messages at your house all the time, doesn't he?
Oh, we talk all the time. Yeah, it's not even messages. We talk all the time.
And finally, America's hot new couple. This is really the only hope to peace with Russia, lasting peace. Lindsay Lohan has volunteered to hook up with Vladimir Putin. Am I overreading that?
No, that's actually pretty correct. I was thinking that Donald Trump might be our connection with Vladimir Putin, but it turns out it very well possibly could be Lindsay Lohan. Steve, as you know, the most popular TV show in Russia is called Pusть Gravit.
Yeah, I watch it all the time.
It's one of my favorites as well.
I love the Pusть Gravit theme song. You want to sing it with me now?
Pusть Gravit.
Pusть Gravit. That's all we know.
Everybody knows the song. Yep. Yeah, everybody sings it. Right. Now it's going to be in my head all day. They wanted to have her on the show because she was in engaged to and just broke up with this guy named Igor Tarabasov.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the funny neighbor on Pusть Gravit.
Igor Tarabasov.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the Pusть Gravit.
It's like a Three's Company without toilet paper. So anyway, they wanted to have Lindsay Lohan on their show to talk about the relationship, and she said she would if they met her demands, which are, one, a private jet, two, security, three, a one-year Russian visa with an extension on it. Mm-hmm. Then she wanted £500,000. She wanted hair, makeup, and a manicurist on board the jet.
Sure, of course, yeah.
A Ritz-Carlton penthouse suite.
Yep,
and finally, last but not least, a meet and greet with photos with President Vladimir Putin.
And why wouldn't you give all that to Lindsay Lohan from a country that's gone broke and its people are starving in the streets? It makes total sense to me.
Pusть Gravit. Pusть Gravit.
Pusть Gravit. Meet the Pusть Gravits.
She's just taking a page out of Dennis Rodman's playbook.
Yeah.
With meeting with foreign leaders.
Dennis Rodman can't read his playbook. Dean will be filling in for me on Wednesday.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And you're going to have John Krasinski?
John Krasinski, best known as Jim from The Office, will share a lovely interview that I did with him just the other day.
Well, I'm glad you're going to be doing it. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Talk to you later. That's Dean Richards, and we're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, the Olympics will be back in two short years, live from South Korea in the Winter Games, and then 4 years from now in Tokyo, and 6 years from now, the Winter Olympics return to the Far East in Beijing because nobody else will bid on them. You know, you guys could actually now watch the Real Sports HBO piece on Rio and on the IOC corruption because it won't suck the fun out of it for you. So,
and it's not going away either.
No. But even though the poor people of Brazil and Rio have to return to their lives now, and the damage that was done in getting ready for the Olympics, the Brazilian government and the people of Rio pulled off the Olympics. Pulled it off?
Yeah, they did. I thought you were going to say but. No, I think they
really
did. Well,
the but is that it did a lot of damage to the local people.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I think, though, it came off much better than we all had anticipated. So now let me ask you this. Do you think Chicago should ever make another bid?
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
See, I would love to see the Olympics come here.
Watch the IOC corruption piece and tell me if you think they should.
All right, I will.
Yeah, because the corruption is beyond belief.
Okay.
The payoffs that have to go on and all of that.
I believe it.
There are good stories other than Ryan Lochte. We'll get to the good stories in a second. But can you please, Jake, please, for me, I don't ask for much. When we come back after traffic, Jake, please play me Ryan Lochte's greatest hits from last week because it just makes me, it makes me happy. It's 8:51 after 9 o'clock. Eddie Olczyk. You know, we're getting closer to Hawks hockey. When's the opener, Dave?
Well, let's see. The preseason is the last week of September gets going, and then October 9th, I believe, is the opener.
Blackhawks hockey, every minute of it right here on 720 WGN.
And by the way, tickets for regular season home games go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. Those are, you take your time. They'll be there.
Yeah.
No rush.
Take your time as in 10 o'clock.
Yeah, 10 by 10:02, they'll be
They're going to be gone, so make sure you're on that this morning as well. Matt Lauer had an exclusive interview with America's dumbest man, Ryan Lochte. And Ryan Lochte came completely clean. Well, not exactly.
If I were to ask you the same question again right now and say, were you robbed on Sunday morning in Rio? How would you answer it?
I'd be like, I can't answer that. Because I don't know if... Because I was intoxicated, so I don't know. All I know is that there was a gun pointed at us, and we were demanded to give money. Whether it was to pay for the damages of the poster, whether it was extortion or whether it was a robbery, like, I'm not equipped to,
except
like,
I want to point out the gunner in his statement to police said at some point someone who spoke English walked over and offered to help translate this altercation. And he made it clear that this security guard was telling the four of you, you need to pay for that stuff, that damage, before you can leave here, or I'm going to call the police. You understood that at that time, didn't you?
Yeah, so then we had to give the money.
Right, so but at that point, it's not a robbery. At that point, you're striking a deal. Isn't that fair?
We just wanted to get out of there and end a story.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is the first version of the story you told Ryan was much more about the mean streets of Rio.
Yeah.
And the version we're hearing now is much more about a negotiated settlement to cover up some dumb behavior.
And that's why I'm taking full responsibility for it.
Ryan Lochte, I should probably tell you, he did go to Hillary Clinton's liars camp this summer. So they start off with a section called, no, it wasn't my idea to put the server in my house. But Ryan Lochte couldn't make less sense if he was in a National Lampoon spoof. You know, it's just ridiculous. He doesn't make any sense at all.
Doesn't he sound like the kid who cheated on a test?
Not a
in
kid
grade
smarter.
School? Did she? No. Well, yeah. Well, no.
It's just, I don't know if we were robbed because I was intoxicated. I was totally intoxicated. So I don't know if we were robbed. But Ryan, you had a translator come over the car to say you weren't being robbed. You had to pay for the stuff. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm taking full responsibility. What? That's why it's time once again for Ryan Lochte's greatest hits. Listen.
The reason why I love swimming is because racing. What defines me? Ryan Lochte. Yeah, kind of stay under the profile, under the radar.
7 times 4.
21.
What I was always good at was letting things go through, like, through one ear, out the other, so to say.
I can't wait until I'm done swimming, then I can go to the market to do a little shopping.
I think that's my biggest key in my workout, just with swimming and weights, is, like, my weight room.
Yeah, boy. Aw, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big, like, sentimental guy. Like, I don't really cry.
What is on your cell phone screensaver?
Rocks.
Rocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you always this cool?
I guess. I mean, I don't really see myself as being cool, but thanks.
Just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The rocks on his screensaver, Dave, are the rocks in his head.
Could same be, yeah. Yes.
Was it a selfie?
He took a selfie of his head rocks. Ryan Lochte.
Thanks.
Yeah, welcome. Gia! What is it, Gia? What is it?
Gia, boy!
Yeah.
He got that trademarked, too, by the way.
Gia, boy! Well, you know what? I don't blame him. I blame the government. Because if somebody tries to trademark Gia, the government should immediately arrest you.
Thanks.
I thought Flava Flav trademarked that. Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
I don't know. I just know the end of the world's close. After a controversial bronze medal wrestling match in Rio this weekend, Mongolian coaches, wasn't that a band called the Mongolian Coaches? Mongolian coaches protested their disappointing result by stripping off their clothes and standing in the middle of the circle. We still don't, now none of us speak native Mongolian, so we still don't know exactly what the nature of their protest was or why taking off their clothes and stomping on them made their point. But no, we're not making it up. So there was plenty of the bizarre. But then there were moments, and moments that probably deserve the majority of coverage and frankly aren't getting it. But there are moments of courage and moments of things that are done, because you may have to realize that you are in the Olympics and this is your one chance to make a statement about something that absolutely has to be made. Now, one of the real tenets from the IOC to all the athletes is no political statements. This goes back to 1968, the Black Power salute, but no political statements during the game. Sure, they've happened. But how about a political statement that could cost you your life
Faiza Lalesa, 26, crossed his arms as he crossed the finish line this weekend for the silver medal in the Olympic marathon. He did this cross-arm gesture in solidarity with the Oromo people of Ethiopia. The gesture is enough that could cause him or his family to be jailed or killed when he returns home. Lalesa won the silver medal in Sunday's marathon with a time of 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 54 seconds. Crossed his arms as he crossed the finish line. This symbol is associated with protests of the Oromo ethnic group in Ethiopia. He then gave this interview and said, "The Ethiopian government is killing my people, so I stand with all protests anywhere and everywhere as Oromo is my tribe. My relatives are in prison, and if they talk about democratic rights, they will be killed." Now, the great risk here, outside of the obvious risk to him, is more than 1,000 Oromo people have been killed in Ethiopia in the last 9 months. And if Lalesa returns home, he said his fears are now that he will become the next one of them that's murdered.
He could.
He said, "If I go back to Ethiopia, maybe they'll kill me. If not kill me, they'll put me in prison. I've not decided yet, but maybe I can move to another country." He is seeking asylum, supposedly, through IOC connections that would allow him, amongst other possibilities, to come here. But after his second place finish, he said he's not sure what to do next. His wife and his kids are still in Ethiopia.
Oh, see?
Yeah, he just said his whole family is there, and some in prison. What's going to happen to them?
I don't know.
Makes things very complex.
And while I respect the fact that he had the courage to make the protest and draw attention to this, I don't know that you can do that with your wife and kids, you know, in jeopardy. But I salute the gesture. I salute the fact that he made that moment, mm-hmm. you know, his.
Did it's he like think defecting. It out? You think?
Did he what?
Did he think about it before he did it? I mean, you know, when you're at that point in the marathon, you're kind of delirious to a point anyway. I just wonder if it was.
But I would hope the United Nations would intervene to the best of their ability as well to try to do something to save his family. But yeah, on the other side of the world, and with countries in the Olympics all over the place, there are folks that can only get out of their country with the permission of the government.
You know, I also fear for the North Korean athlete who took the picture with the South Korean athlete.
Yeah.
That was my first thought when they it was a very cool show of solidarity.
It was nice.
But I thought, I wonder if North Korea is going
to. And it'd be very difficult follow up. Yeah, well, I'm sure. Kim Jong-un won 25 gold medals. Mm-hmm.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
What do you have to lose by trying something new like Trump? What do you have to lose? You're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. 58% of your youth is unemployed. What the hell do you have to lose? And at the end of 4 years, I guarantee you that I will get over 95% of the African American vote. I promise you.
Can you promise monkeys will fly out of your butt and redo your hair? Donald Trump Friday, speaking to a white crowd about black people. He has yet to say when, or any of his surrogates have yet to say when, he will speak to a black crowd about white people. Just can't seem to sync it up. But Kellyanne Conway is now his campaign manager, and along with saying she was inspired by his words, she also commented on something else that's created a big problem for Donnie, DJ. The Trump core message since he got in is what? Going to build that wall?
Make it, well, yeah.
I'm going to build
make
that
America
wall.
Great again.
Going to build that wall, and I'm going to deport all the people I want to deport because I'm DJ. I'm Donnie. I'm Donnie J. I'm Trump. Is he going to deport all the people? Is he going to take 11 million, maybe more illegal immigrants and deport them? Well, maybe not.
What he supports is to make sure that we enforce the law, that we are respectful of those Americans who are looking for well-paying jobs, and that we are fair and humane for those who live among us in this country. And as the weeks unfold, he will lay out the specifics of that plan that he would implement as president of the United States.
Will that plan include a deportation force, the kind that he talked about during the Republican primaries?
To be determined.
Oh, my gosh.
So for all of you who put your faith in Donald Trump because you believe the 11 million plus illegals should be deported, even though I told you then, I'm telling you now, it's never going to happen. Mm-mm. You're going to put out pamphlets? Hey, show up. The buses are ready. They can take you back to Mexico.
Right.
If you are here illegally, you're not going to show up for a deportation. And this idea that we would somehow get an approval for secret police to go around and knock on doors and find people and deport them is an idiotic premise to begin with. But it's bait and switch for Trump to have said it, gotten your vote if you believe that way because of it, and now tell you he's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. To be determined.
Yeah, okay.
Is it possible to miss Paul Manafort?
You know, I hadn't thought about that. Kellyanne Conway, by the way, also had a chance to comment on one of the other things that Donald Trump is steadfast about. And this is very important to the rest of America. Very, very important. How will you be affected by Donald Trump's stance on his own tax returns? He will not release his own tax returns. But wait a minute. Is this what Kellyanne Conway had always said?
Back in April, you said on CNN that you want Trump to be transparent.
I want to ask you about this alliance between you first, Kellyanne, between John Kasich and Ted Cruz, this alliance, shall we say, that Donald Trump is calling collusion. Is this fair game? Are they playing by the rules here?
Oh, absolutely. It's completely transparent. Donald Trump's tax returns aren't. I'd like to see those be transparent.
Okay, now you're in charge of Donald Trump's campaign. Given that, and given how you feel, are we going to see Donald Trump's tax return soon?
So now that I'm on the inside, I know something I didn't know then, which is he's under audit and what that means. And he has said very clearly, and I back him up completely, that when the audit is completed, he will release the tax returns. And let me just say something about transparency. It comes in many different forms, Dana, as does accountability and as does truthfulness.
And we are talking about that for sure. But in this particular interview and these questions are about Donald Trump. And you mentioned the audit. According to his lawyers, the years 2002 to 2008 are no longer under audit. So would you release those tax returns?
No, I would not.
Oh.
This is his campaign chairman. She was against him. Now she's for him. Mm-hmm. And by the way, everyone on the planet knew. You don't have to be on the inside. Everyone on the planet knew the reason he didn't want to release his returns is because he was under audit. This is not new information. So the crapometer on her is reading at about 10 as well.
Well, we had a tax expert in last week who said it doesn't matter even if you are being audited or under audit.
No. Doesn't matter. Right. It's tradition.
Yeah.
It's not mandated. But if you're running on the idea that you are a businessman with incredible success who's given away hundreds of millions of dollars to charity, prove it. It's a job interview. Show me the paperwork. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani's in the news. I don't know, man. Rudy Giuliani. There's a disconnect. I think we got a wire loose. As Letterman used to say, I don't think he's hooked up right. Here is the guy that is sort of kind of quietly, along with Roger Ailes, goose and Trump every chance they get. Here is Rudy Giuliani on Hillary Clinton's health conspiracies.
She has an entire media empire that constantly demonizes Donald Trump and fails to point out that she hasn't had a press conference in 300 days, 200 days, 100 days, I don't know how long. Fails to point out several signs of illness by her. All you got to do is go online.
Her campaign and a number of people defending her saying there's nothing factual to the claims about her health and that's speculation at best.
Well, so go online and put down Hillary Clinton illness. Take a look at the videos for yourself.
The videos he's talking about is the same nonsense that Sean Hannity showed, which is Hillary Clinton bobbing her head like backwards, like jerking her head backwards, which is just a goofy reaction to a bombardment of questions from a group of press people who are all asking her questions at the same time. She's not in the middle of a seizure. The video of her walking up steps where she has to be helped. Well, she's almost 70. Okay. Maybe at the end of a long day, she'd like an assistance getting up some steps. That doesn't make her not qualified. And a video of her tripping and falling as she boards an airplane. That's a lot of people trip and fall.
Right.
And plus, she's doing it in heels.
Yeah.
So on top of all of this, Rudy Giuliani, who for a very long time was a very well-respected guy, is citing conspiracy theory videos online. And what does this all mean? You put it all in one big basket, it's the same old story. The Trump campaign, instead of picking on Hillary for all the stuff they ought to be picking on her for, continues to miss the boat. Mm-hmm. The press conference thing, they barely touched on it. He just referenced it there. She hasn't done a press conference since last year. That's outrageous. And she absolutely ought to be held to account for that. Meanwhile, I worked in New York. Rudy Giuliani used to call my show. I was only on air and air for maybe 6 months before I got fired there as well. But Rudy Giuliani used to call us to look for media availabilities. He used to call the New York Times and leak things as mayor of New York. He called all of the media outlets he's now calling out as saying they're biased against Trump. He's full of it, along with apparently having a screw loose. And then the other piece of the Hillary Clinton news of the weekend, Colin Powell stepped up and said, stop linking me to your emails, email mess. Yeah. Because a year before I ever had a conversation with Secretary of State Clinton about how to handle her email, she was already on a private server. So Colin Powell, who endorsed Barack Obama twice, I don't see that coming for Hillary. He may be staying out of the fray. Campaign 2016, it just keeps getting better. Oh, and one more, Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich came out this weekend and says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Said he met with the Trump campaign, and they have information on the Clintons that nobody's seen that's devastating, and some of that will come out this week. We're really getting a lot of answers on who's best to run the country, aren't we? Back after this on 720 WGN.
What the hell do you have to lose?
In honor of Ryan Lochte, you've been taking lies all morning by text. Dumbest lie I've ever been told from 312 in middle school. I was dared by friends to call an adult phone sex line. I did, but I called from the house, and when the phone bill came, my parents started accusing me. I said, it wasn't me, it was my younger sisters. Because, you know, the younger sisters are often involved in porn. Porn purveyors, middle schoolers. Dumb lies. Dumb lies like Ryan Lochte. All right, let me switch subjects here at 925 and thank Orion and Gloria Samuelson for hosting us on Saturday in the Turf Club at Arlington. We had a great time, and as always with Orion. And Dave killed it.
I wouldn't say I killed it.
Oh. You killed it.
Mr. and Mrs. Ennett walked out like Thurston and Lovey Howell.
They were fanning themselves with their money, yeah, I saw were. On the way out.
Yeah. Only once.
Yeah. Mike Jacobson, Jake, producer, he and Audrey were there, and they were pretending they didn't know what they were doing. Meanwhile, they were just raking in the cash. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like the silent bettors.
It's
like,
actually good
on?
That they were raking in the cash, because at one point...
Oh, I remember this.
I go up to the window, and Jake's behind me to place his bet. And, you know, the guys at the track, they do this every day. So the last thing they need is some rube who doesn't know what he was doing. Well, you know, it's not that I don't know what I'm doing. It's just that I didn't have cash. I had to borrow money from Jake to place my bet.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I saw you by the elevator.
55-year-old host of the show, Steve, had to borrow money from his 30-year-old producer who he underpays.
Youngest person on the show.
And Jimmy DeCastro was there. Could have borrowed from him.
He won pretty good, too.
Yeah. Well, he needs the money.
But yeah, we all won. It was a great, great day.
It was a great time, and everybody had fun. Well, not, you say we all won.
Yeah, we all won.
Oh, sorry. Mm. Well, you know what? You're right. I won the first race, and I think one other, and that was it. You, not so much those things.
Not so much. As a matter of fact, one of my horses in one of the races retired before the race was over to spend more time with his family. Mm-hmm. He actually retired and did a press conference, said he wanted to spend more time with his family. I just picked loser after loser. I had one horse faking a limp.
Yeah.
Yeah. It yeah. just said, don't shoot me. I pulled a hammy. A horse hammy.
We got a press release saying that they are going to now repave the whole parking lot and call it the Steve Cochran Honorary Lot.
Yeah, it's like
lot.
The Adopt a Highway signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, a sign that said this parking lot resurfacing courtesy of Steve Cochran and the money you lost on Saturday. I had one of the jockeys call in sick while he was riding the horse. I had a horse with ADD. He actually just ran out on the highway and just took off. He said, no, Cochran, bet on me. I'm done. I had a horse that just finished, Dave.
Really?
One of my horses from Saturday just finished.
You were going to put that in the sports, I thought, that his horse was still running.
Yeah, I didn't want to call attention to it.
So if anybody ever offers you the Steve Cochran Arlington betting cheat sheet, don't pay any attention to it.
Well, you'd have to come up with themes, you know, like I did.
What was your traffic theme?
I had a traffic theme, yeah. So every horse had to sound somewhat like traffic? Or
I had statistical related? Analysis going on. I was looking at the sheets. I was seeing, you know, what their success ratio had been on the particular surface they're running on, how they did in their last couple of races, what the jockey's winning percentage was.
Were you reading the sheets or were you just looking at the sheets?
No, I was analyzing.
Oh, that stuff makes your head explode.
Yeah,
you
that
can't
stuff's
go that
all
far.
Overrated, Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I do.
My brother, Mickey, you know, I lived in Baltimore briefly, and we live very close to Pimlico, where they run the Preakness. My brother, Mickey, had a system where he would watch the parade of the ponies when they'd come out, and whichever horse took the biggest dump on the track, he thought would feel the best and run the fastest. And he always won.
I was going to say, that's not a bad theory.
It's very smart move.
Yeah. You know who was horse whispering? Jimmy's wife. She is the sweetest
Annie?
Woman alive. Yeah. She said, I have to go down, see the horses, get a feel, and horse whisper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she won that much, though.
No. Jimmy offered to buy a horse if it won. They don't have them at the gift shop. You actually have to go through a process. Now, anytime you get a station get-together, you go, who's going to be the first to leave?
Oh, yeah.
Sandberg didn't just bail out on Pearl Jam. She bailed out first on the Orion Fest.
I did.
What was that about?
Well, because we had to go home and get ready for Pearl Jam.
You had to go home and get ready to leave early for Pearl Jam?
Yeah.
Pearl Jam?
Yeah. Plus, I don't like to overstay my welcome.
Did you feel like your welcome was complete at that point? Get
mm-hmm.
out?
Mm-hmm. I like to... Jackie Kennedy always says you should come late and leave early.
So
always have somewhere to be.
That's she also says don't accept all invites.
I don't think she says much anymore.
You know, one thing, though, there was candy jars all over the place.
Too soon.
Candy jars all over the place in the room we were in at Arlington. Mm-hmm. And they had little spoons next to them, which means you're supposed to use the spoon, dip it in the candy, put that into your hand.
Right.
I saw a few of our show members just stick their hand into the bowls.
All right. Out of
them.
Who were
guilty,
they?
Yeah.
I saw Mary.
Did you
take
put your
some
hand in?
No, I just took
Mary
a ball.
Mary took some Reese's Pieces with her fingers.
All right,
I
used
didn't
a
do
spoon
that.
The second time.
I didn't do that. I took a malted milk ball because they were the size of apples.
And Jimmy.
Okay, Jimmy did
spoons.
It?
Yeah.
Jimmy did it
there's
too?
There's spoons next to each jar.
Can I tell
but
you?
But they don't put any plates there or anything.
Put
so
it in
what
the palm of your hand. You put it in the palm.
Well, the spoon, you can take the spoon and dump it in the palm of your hand.
Okay.
She only wanted one Reese's Pieces, so she dove in and took it. I'm like, supposed to use a spoon.
I didn't dive in. I very delicately took it.
Did you wash your hands at least?
I washed them before.
I'm sure she's clean. I just was.
But it's not about. No, hold on. Hold on. It's not about your hands. It's about the fact that everybody that does that put their paws in those things.
Oh.
That's why I don't take mints at restaurants at the end of the day.
Yeah,
I don't either.
But the spoon system can work if you use the spoon.
Yeah, got to use the spoon.
For Pete's sake, you guys are so paranoid.
I'm not. Okay. That's good. Don't
see
ever
you at the clinic.
Don't ever be behind Mary in the buffet line.
Oh, it's but not I, like I spit on things.
Could I follow up on one thing?
Help
point
me,
that,
Dave.
That Mary Sandberg just made.
Sure, of course.
Okay, so you didn't want to overstay your welcome. I believe that Andrea and I were like the last, we were the last ones to leave. Does that mean we overstayed our welcome?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now I feel terrible.
Because I was sitting at Orion and Gloria's table, and they were going, you know, the
they
last time
yawning.
We did this, Andre and Dave were here.
I didn't mean to.
Orion said, you look, know, I'm not getting any younger. I need to go home.
Let me just tell you, Gloria, who's a wonderful hostess, said, stay for one more race.
Oh, she did.
She did.
To me.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. She didn't say that.
She didn't say that to you. I don't know.
And actually, Dave,
she didn't mean it.
Me and Audrey left at the same time as you and Karen.
That's right.
So did I overstay, too?
Oh, you absolutely did.
I guess you did, Mike.
And I was actually the first one there.
You were the first one there.
Well, you really are.
So you go with the opposite Jackie Kennedy advice. You're first to arrive, last to leave.
Yeah.
So I don't think Orion's going to talk to me anymore.
Get there stay there longer than the host wants you. That's your way to go.
It was weird, though. He was pushing me out the door, literally. And I didn't really get why, but I guess I understand.
The great thing about Orion is he's at an age now where he would just put his big hand around your shoulder and go, young man, it's time to go.
Time to go.
Please leave.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't do that. I mean, they're wonderful hosts. And by the way, Arlington is just fantastic. And the fact that that place isn't packed all the time makes me sad.
Me too.
Come on, support horse racing before it's gone. You get out there and support it.
And great to see Mr. D.
Yeah. Who looks so good. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
He's going to be 95 in October.
He looks great.
Suit and tie every single day. If he sees a scrap of paper on the floor, he bends over and picks it up. He doesn't have someone following him.
Right.
95. It would be sucking air. He's bending over. But he's a great guy, and he hires terrific people out there to do it. Anyway, it's a fun day. It's a fun day for people. And thank you, Ori, and thank you, Gloria, for giving us a chance to be out there again, even though I'm sure Mr. D would ask you not to bring us back. At 9:32, we'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Olczyk got to it. Olczyk busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olczyk! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fuhr on the sixth side.
One of the ways you get cranked up for hockey, if you're a hockey head like I am, is you pay attention to the NHL Network in the offseason as well. And every year they do their list of position rankings for players. A couple of weeks ago, they had Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews 1 and 5 for best forwards in the league. I can live with that. Even though I thought 5 was a bit low. Duncan Keith was the number 4 ranked defenseman. I can live with that. Seabrook was number 13. I think that's okay. That was in their top 20 defenseman list. But at some point, you got to draw the line. Eddie Olczyk joins us now to give me his take on this. Eddie, am I overreacting to Corey Crawford being 7th best in the league?
Well, first off, Steve, good morning. Hope you're having a terrific summer. I hope AD is doing great.
Hi, Edzo. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are having a nice summer, too.
Yeah, hi, Eddie. How are you?
Oh, yeah. This is what I want to wake up to my Monday morning is arguing about the top 7 or top 10 goaltenders.
Well, then why'd you agree to come on? Why don't you just?
Don't talk to him that way, Steve.
Yeah. What?
The email and text that I got was somebody canceled on Cochran again, and they need you to come out of the bullpen. You know, and I could, you know what? And I think today I might be the best long reliever in Chicago sports right now.
I totally agree, especially when Weidman had other stuff happening. Yeah. Well, how's your summer?
It's kind of slowed down here the last 3-4 weeks. You know, we had the Triple Crown, had the Stanley Cup Final. We had 4 weeks of Blackhawk Youth Hockey Camp. Annie Cammons and Spencer and Laura do a terrific job over there with the Blackhawk Youth Hockey Department. So we had 4 weeks of young hockey players in the Chicagoland area for camps. And then finally I got a couple of weeks off, and I'll head off to horse racing duties this weekend. I got the Travers at Saratoga, and then I got the Woodward the following weekend. And next thing you know, training camp will be right around the corner. So my summer pretty much just started about 3 weeks ago, so it's been nice to not have much to do.
Well, it's good.
You know what I mean.
It's very good. And by the way, enjoy the extra money I left at Arlington on Saturday. I hope Mr. D does good things with it, and I hope it helps you.
He's got some of mine as well.
So, all right. So, look, the only reason this list bothers me, Edward,
okay,
is this. Corey Crawford has been terminally underrated, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is another one of
these. Let me interrupt you. The last couple of years, for sure, there is no doubt. Like, I thought last year, Steve, that he was a Vezina finalist for my eyes and from what I saw, not only locally but nationally. I thought that he had an incredible season. I thought it was his best year as a pro. Yeah, he had some speed bumps, but who doesn't? But I think he has gradually improved over the course of the last couple of years. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's got a couple of Stanley Cups to back it up as well.
So when he is 7th on this list, it is not a slap to me that the other goaltenders would be behind, because it's a great list, obviously. These are the best goaltenders in the league.
Yeah.
But he also has 2 cups. Mm-hmm. And, listen, Eddie, you played the game at the highest level for a long time. You know more about it than all of us collectively will ever know. If you don't have great goaltending, you ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, you have no shot to win. And not only my 2 great partners, the great Pat Foley and the great Doc Emrick, we talk a lot about it. If you don't have it, and that being goaltending, you got no shot to win. And you want your goaltender to make the routine save, 100% of the time and make those spectacular saves, a high 90 percentile. And look, I mean, the list is the position, obviously, Steve, being a hockey guy. I mean, the position is probably as deep and as good as we've seen.
Yeah.
In a very, very long time. So, I mean, to be in a top 10 or to be in a top 5 is certainly incredible air to breathe if you're a goaltender. But for me, there's no doubt in my mind that the body of work of Corey Crawford and the way that he has improved and the success that the team has had
to me, his number would be higher on my list. Now, I think when you look at lists that people put out, and look, give the NHL credit, people are talking about this. You're
Absolutely.
Talking about it on your powerful radio show. So, I mean, it gets people's attention, and it's great that hockey can be talked about in the middle of August, a few weeks before the World Cup of Hockey, and then, of course, training camps, and then opening night at the United Center with the Hawks and Blues on October 12th. So, for me, he is a little bit lower on the list than I would thought. But again, when people are making these decisions, Steve and AD, it's that, you know, they look at the team, they look at the players that are around him. But at the end of the day, you got to stop the puck. It doesn't matter how you stop it. You just got to make sure it doesn't get by you. And Corey Crawford, like I said, is improved year after year. And I think with his spot on Team Canada for the World Cup of Hockey, I think sends a pretty strong message to everybody out there that he's an elite goaltender, regardless of what number he may be on any list, throughout the National Hockey League.
Eddie, good morning, and belated happy milestone birthday to you.
Oh, David, I can't believe that I'm 50 years old. I cannot believe it. I don't know where the time has gone. This was a tough week last week. I didn't know what the heck to feel like, but I'm glad.
I'll back you up on that. 50 made me angry.
Well, what do you mean?
I did. 50 made me angry.
Oh,
I don't know.
50. Yeah.
50.
Yeah,
turning
yeah.
50 made me angry. 55. I just hit 55. 55. Yeah. You go. Well, I'll be dead soon. But 50.
Hey, you look pretty good for 55. Let me tell you.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You know, it's right. But maybe a couple of weeks before my birthday, my mother, typical Italian mother. We're having dinner one night out, and she goes, tells everybody, can you believe I'm going to have a 50-year-old son? I'm going, take it easy. I mean, like, well, you're not exactly a spring chicken over there. Take it easy, Diana Olchek. That's Diana Olchek Sr., because my wife's name is Diana as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we have the Diana and Eddie, that's my father's name as well as Eddie. Our oldest son, his name is Eddie, and we have a daughter that name is, it is not Diana. No, my wife would not let me name our daughter Diana, so we named her Zandra. So, but thank you. Thank you, long-winded David. I can't believe that I'm 50 years old. I really can't believe it. But hopefully I'm halfway home. That's all I'm going to say.
That's it.
Absolutely. All right. So do you think that Corey is perhaps he's the victim of being on a team with so many stars that
sure.
maybe that works
yeah.
against him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you feel, David, but I think that's certainly – plays into it. But again, look, I get a chance to see a lot of games, get to see the Hawks a lot, I don't want to say daily basis, but, on a gamely basis. And to me, I just see the confidence that he has played with, the improvement that he has played with, and he's given this team an opportunity over the course of the last couple of years. Look, I mean, we all know, two seasons ago when the Hawks won the third cup, it was tough. It was tough early against Nashville, but that's why it's called a team. When somebody doesn't get the job done, you got to look to somebody else. And Scotty Darling came in and did an incredible job, and gave Corey the opportunity to get his skates back under him. And then Crowell played extremely well. So for me, I think that does play into it with the team that he has around him, the success that they've had. But as I said with Steve, if you don't have it, I don't care what coach you have standing behind the bench, and we all know that Coach Q is the man, or Scotty Bowman, or whomever else you want to talk about, Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh now, you got to have consistent goaltending. And if you get that, then everything else would take care of itself.
Edzo, first of all, you look great. Happy belated.
Thanks, AD.
Always. I want to know how you fared in the million, and perhaps a little bit later on we can do a post-show helping of Steve Cochran, because just between me and you, he didn't really do too well in the
I mentioned, Eddie, about 20 minutes ago, one of my horses from Saturday just finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? I had one from Del Mar yesterday, ran in the third race, and he finished in the fifth. So I feel your pain there, Mr. Cochran. But
Arlington's going to resurface, Edzo, with all of the, and name the parking lot after Steve for all the money that he dropped there.
Steve's
Saturday.
Lot C.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm parked in the Cochran lot over there.
That's
yeah.
it. That's
left,
it.
Left of the, uh,
left at the test barn, if you know what I mean.
What are you doing at Saratoga? Is that NBC Sports now?
NBC, yeah. NBC this weekend. We got the Traverse, so big full field this weekend for three-year-olds. And then the next weekend I'll go back for Labor Day weekend. I got the Woodward there, so for older horses. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here of horses separating themselves for the Breeders' Cup in the first weekend of November out at Santa Anita. So this will be a... this will be a real good weekend coming up, and I did work the Arlington Million with David Kaplan and with Howard Sudbury, so that was fun to do on CSN. My horse, Wake Forest, I think finished 7th or 8th, but the other horse that Howard Sudbury liked, Mondelez, won the race. So it was a heck of a day. It was a beautiful day. It was a heck of a race, and it was fun to be out there at Arlington, being a part of the Arlington Million.
I got to tell you, I think the bullpen worked out well for us today. It's the great Eddie Olczyk. Thanks, buddy, as always. Can't wait for hockey, but don't want to rush summer. Still can't wait for hockey.
Love you guys. See ya.
See ya, Tim.
See ya.
Love him.
We love him, too, by the way. I want people to not think I don't love Eddie. I love Eddie. Handsome devil, too, at 50.
Oh, he certainly is.
Oh, stop it. 9:55, back with Bill and Wendy next, 720 WGN.